Okay, word. Okay, enough distractions. So we were discussing yesterday the basis for our Gemara, which is that which asserts Shemashma Tzedakah Vafilu Be'erev Shabbos, that you need two people to collect tzedakah. To distribute tzedakah always needs three, because you have to decide how much each recipient should receive. And if you're collecting and then distributing right away, so you need three for the collections too, because the collection body is the same as the distribution body, which is what the Gemara brought up earlier. Sometimes you need three for collection because the collection and the distribution happen simultaneously. But typically, to collect, you need two. To distribute, you need three. To collect, you really should have been enough with one, because one person is believed, you know, as a gabbai tzedakah. But to seize properties as tzedakah requires two people, because you can't have a position of authority that is occupied by one person alone. And seizing people's money for tzedakah is a position of authority. Now, what is the license to seize people's money for tzedakah? So we said it's based on the Gemara Masechtas Ksubis, that when a person refuses to perform a mitzvah, we can compel him to perform the mitzvah makinoi, so even the dramatic language of makinoi say achatetze nafsha. But we had a big machlokes between the Ksais and the Nesivis. Who is doing the compelling here? So the Ksais had a deal from the language of the Rambam that we're only talking about with regards to tzedakah, and we'll explain tzedakah might be different. We're not going to get to that today either, but maybe tzedakah is different. But be that as it may, the Ksais HaChoshin derived from the Rambam in his language Matanas Aniyim, that it's only a Beis Din that can compel other people to do mitzvahs. Only they have the right to do it. And the Ksais had a diak from Tyson Baba Kama that it has to be a Beis Din of Smuchim. Now it's true, to be adjudicate any matter, you really need to be Smuchim, but today we have a mechanism called Anan Shlichu Sayokov Dinan. We are the representatives of those earlier Batei Din who had Smicha, and that allows us to operate today with regards to a limited scope, you know, a limited set of activities. One of those set of activities might be compelling people to perform mitzvahs, as the Ksais writes in the Mishrei of Nesiva. So we have, you know, certain licenses today, but it would only be reserved for a Beis Din. The Nesivis disagreed, and he said, no, compelling people to perform mitzvahs is incumbent upon every Jew. Has the right, if I see you violating a prohibition, or I see you failing to perform mitzvah saseh, I can compel you to perform the mitzvah saseh. And the Ksais disagreed, he said, it's not given to everyone. And then he drew another distinction, by the way, between a mitzvah loy saseh and a mitzvah saseh. The Nesivis brought a proof from the Gemara Bava Kama that if Eved Ivri refuses to leave the master at the time that his service is over, he wants to stay with the Shifcha Kananis, wants to stay intermarried, which is a unique Zeris HaKosah that permits him to be married to a non-Jewish woman while he's in service to his other one. And now his service is over and he wants to remain with her, so then we can compel him to leave. And the Rosh writes, and that's the way the Gemara Bava Kama implies, anyone has a right to step in and to force him to divorce his wife. So the Ksai says, that's not makinoi sarishatetze nafshai. You can, hit him a few times, smack him, you know, but you can't makinoi sarishatetze nafshai to the brink of death. No. That's reserved for a mitzvah saseh. And the Ksai had his distinction, which he based upon the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva, and we showed it's the Ramban in last week's parashah, Parashat Yisrael, distinction between mitzvah saseh and mitzvah loy saseh. It's true, the punishment for mitzvah loy saseh is more chamor, but the opportunity that is presented with a mitzvah saseh is really so much greater, because a person builds a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam through a mitzvah saseh, and therefore you can be makanah saseh or taseh nafshah through a mitzvah saseh, whereas not with regards to a mitzvah saseh. Okay, but that's basically the machlokes that we had, how it shakes out. We'll leave aside the distinction mitzvah saseh for the moment. Machlokes in the Ksais and the Nesivis, who is doing the compelling? The Gemara says in Bava Ksubis, I think that's the basis of the Gemara over here, the Mashkan al Tzedakah. Could be a person who's refusing to perform a lulav or matzah, or you can go down and take his money and compel him to perform the mitzvah. Tzedakah, who's doing the compelling? Is that Beis Din, or is that every individual? That's the machlokes Ksais and Nesivis. It seems to me, Rabbi Isai, that they're arguing about why do you have the right to do this? Why? The Nesivis says everyone has the right to step in to do it. So it seems to me that the svara behind the Nesivis is obvious, and we already alluded to it yesterday. It's because Kol Yisrael are Ravim Zebozeh. Everyone is responsible for everyone else. Therefore, if you're violating a loy saseh, you're failing to perform mitzvah saseh, that affects me, the individual. And therefore, I have the right to compel you to keep up to the, to fulfill your expectations, religious expectations. Obviously, if the guy's not going to listen, right, then we would apply the same rules and regulations of mitzvah, kishem shemitzvah loy madavar nishma, kach mitzvah shelo loy madavar she'enu nishma, or if the guy's not going to listen, start banging your head against the wall, if I won't be able to compel him to do it, so then I shouldn't waste my time, I'm just going to cause him to hate religion. But at the end of the day, what I should really do is compel him, to force him to fulfill his religious obligations. Probably included within the mitzvah hachayach torchiyach hasamisecha, right? All the parts and similar principles to kol yisrael arevim zeh v'zeh. I'm responsible for you. You're responsible for me, and therefore I have to give you tochacha if I see you failing to fulfill your responsibilities, and if I can to compel you to do it. And therefore, it's everyone. The ksai says it's only based in. Why should it only be based in? Why should it only be based in? Now, maybe today we're licensed to do it based on this, you know, principle of Anu Shlichu Sayyid Kavdina. We're like the representatives of the earlier Bat Din who were smuchim. Why only Beis Din? So it seems to, perhaps, it's related to the position of the Rambam, who omits this halacha entirely. The Rambam never brings anywhere this halacha, the Kofen Oysayas or Tetzay Nafsha. If a person's failing to perform mitzvah say, you can compel him to do it. Reb Chaim makes that ha'ara, as do many other achrayim. The Rambam never brings this halacha. It doesn't appear anywhere. Never brings it. What the Rambam does write is the following. Turn the page from the sheet from yesterday. Rambam, Sanhedrin, Perek Tezayin, Olacha, Beis Gimel. Malkin, Bizman, Azeb, Echol, Mokon, Minatar, Befnei, Shloish, Esmukum, Lo, Befnei, Hed, Yoytis. To a minister, Malkus, a guy is wearing shatnez, and he refuses to take it off. And I warned him, don't do that. You're going to get Malkus. And he says, okay, I'll take my punishment. So then we give him Malkus, right? Give him Hasra. There are two witnesses there. He understands the consequences. You give him Malkus. We don't do that today. That's only Smuchim, a Bezin of Smuchim. And a Smuchim, of course, means he received Smicha, Ish, Mepiish, from Moshe Rabbeinu, and only in Eretz Yisrael. V'chol Malkus, Malkin, Dayone, Chutz Laaretz. So what is all the Malkus that takes place in Chutz Laaretz about? Because there's no Smicha in Chutz Laaretz. I don't know. We don't have Malkus, right? But okay. Some shuls before Yom Kippur you could go in here. People administer, they talk about tzaddikim administering malchus to each other, something like that, but okay. V'chol malchus shemalchin dayonu chutzlaris, v'chol malchum ein ela malchus mardus. That's only malchus midrabanan, known as malchus mardus. Malchus mardus. Malchus for rebellion. Malchus mardus. Malchus midrabanan. About this malchus, that's all the Rambam brings. Malchus midrabanan. Malchus midrabanan. He doesn't tell you why you would give it or when you would give it. Right? The Rambam hilchos chametz to matzah. Perek Vav Aloch Yudbe is the following. Oster Chachamim Lecho Matzah Be'er Pesach Kedei Shia Heker Lachilosa Be'erav. We know you're not allowed to have Matzah on Erev Pesach. If you do, the Yushalmi compares it to Misha Bol Arusasa Be'eis Chamav, a person who has relations with his intended, with his betrothed, prior to the time that is permitted while she's still in the house of her father. So that's, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Umishach, again, it's not a formal prohibition in that way, but it's inappropriate. Mishach, matzah on Erev Pesach, makanos ha-makas, maradus ha-shotetze nafshoi. How many times malchus do you get if you wear shatnez? 39. It says 40, Chazal lowered it to 39. How many times malchus do you get if you eat matzah on Erev Pesach, which Chazal said not to do? Makas maradus ha-shotetze nafshoi. Where did Rambam get this language? That's from the Gemara Ksubis. Yeah, but that's talking about something entirely different. What is that talking about? That's talking about a person who refuses to perform a mitzvah saseh, and we want to compel him to do it. So until he listens to us. The Rambam is not talking about that. The Rambam A is talking about a person who already did something in the past. Not that we're hoping that he does something in the future. And here the Rambam is punishing him more, same punishment, ad shetetze nafsho. Is that what Makas Maradus is all about? So look over here, the Ritva, Mesechlis Ksubis comments. Pirish Bal Ha'oruch. The Makas Maradus, Makano Yisai, ad shetetze nafsho. Makas Maradus is more than 39. It's more chomer than Malkus De Raisa. It's ad shetetze nafsho. To the brink, right? V'chein kazim Rambam Hilchas Pesachim, gabi ha'oichu matzah, v'er Pesach. But the Ritva notes that Rashi in Masechtas Nazir, Perish HaMishnah, Masechtas Nazir, in Nazir, it's not really Rashi, it's a Perish on the side of the Gemara. Sometimes it says Rashi, it's not Rashi. Perish HaMakanoiselifi Oimid Beizim. What are you talking about? For a person who violates an Issa the Rabbanon, So if there's Malkus Mardus, it's the same as Malkus Deiraisa. What is Malkus Deiraisa? You have a health assessment. How many Malkus can this guy withstand? You only give 39, that's the maximum. If a guy can't handle the 39, he's weak, so then you give him less than 39. So here too, what is all of a sudden this reckless Malkus? Over here, there's also an Oymed based in. V'chein kasev Rabbeinu Meir HaLevi, shemakon oisei ba'oymed ulahakil mi malkus shel Torah. It's less severe than Malkus Deiraisa, not more severe. And the Ritva proposes a compromise, or what he sees as a compromise, which is accepted by many, and I think we probably intuited it, in this direction. If it's still going on, and I want to get you to stop, the guy's living with the Shifcha Knein is beyond the point when that's permitted. The guy's refusing to eat matzah or sit in the sukkah. I'm concerned about the future. Then you can keep hitting him until he complies. Until he accepts upon himself the obligations the Chazal imposed. It's something that happened in the past. Then we have an assessment, a health assessment, and we should be less severe, less imposing than Malkus Deiraisa. So big machlekes, what is Malkus Mardus all about? The Ritva says it's less than Malkus Deiraisa, and you need an oimid, but that's only if it's about something that happened in the past as a punishment. If it is to encourage him to comply with something in the future, to stop doing an Avera, to start doing a mitzvah, that's when you have Makanoisai as Shetetze Nafsha. The Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes this kind of a distinction on Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to punish people on Shabbos. The Pasuk says in Parashas Vayakel, you're not allowed to kindle a fire in all of your communities on the day of Shabbos. That's one of the Lamed Tesavos Malachos, kindling a fire. However, all of the Lamed Tesavos Malachos of Shabbos, funny, we were just talking about this, don't appear in the Psukim at all. There is no Pasuk for Kaitse, there is no Pasuk for Bishul, there is no Pasuk for Baina or Kaisev or Makabah Patish. There is no Pasuk. It's derived from whatever activities took place in the Mishkan. Why over here by Havara, by kindling, does the Torah go out of its way to say, don't kindle a flame on Shabbos? All the other ones are understood. Whatever was involved in the Mishkan should be also on Shabbos. Why is the Pasuk explaining this over here? So, one opinion of the Gemara is, Havara lelav yotzas, it comes to teach us that kindling of fire is not an av malacha, it's just a loisase. Another opinion of the Gemara is that it's Havar lechalek yasas. Havar is listed separately. The teachers that each one of the avos malachas is a separate prohibition vis-a-vis certain halachas. Or maybe it's coming to teach us many other things. One of the other things that Chazal interpret within this pasuk, because it's odd that the Torah would go out of its way to list one of the lamed tesavos malachas if it's included in the malachas HaMishkan, obviously it's also on Shabbos too. Maybe it's coming to teach us something extra, is you're not allowed to administer misas beizdin on Shabbos. There's no punishments on Shabbos. Because one of the Misa's Bezin was Sreifa. They would pour hot metal down his throat. That involved heating metal on Shabbos. We're going to discuss soon. Heating metal on Shabbos is a malach of Havara, of kindling. Hot, red hot metal is like a fire. It's kindling. So you're now to administer Misa's Bezin by doing the malach, by doing the Misa's Bezin of Sreifa. From that, we extrapolate to all other Misa's Bezin too. So obviously, you can't kill someone on Shabbos too. Be shaychet. But not only, is it a violation of that? Punishing on Shabbos itself is its own prohibition. So therefore, the Rishonim, right? There's no malchus on Shabbos either. No malchus on Shabbos, even though you're causing a wound, and that's chabura, and it could have been a malacha of causing a wound on Shabbos. Forget about all that. There's no punishments on Shabbos. So therefore, writes the Rama, also litvos ugahachnas lebeis hasayar. There's no punishing on Shabbos, even if the guy deserves to go to jail. Of course, you cannot administer Malkus. There's no judging, there's no punishing on Shabbos. And then he escapes, it's not our problem. So I'm going to show the Paiskim right, the Avnei Nezer, writes that you shouldn't discipline your children on Shabbos. No punishing on Shabbos, no disciplining children. Today, no one disciplines anyway, so Baruch Hashem, we're safe. It's only positive reinforcement. But in the days when they used to discipline children, so no, I'm joking. Yeah, you have to have rules, but you know, be careful. There's no fighting on Shabbos. So Sevaru Eish B'Chomos V'Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos. Typically, the only time during the week we have to fight. When else are you going to fight in shul? Who has time during the week? We're running in and out of chakras. I have no time to fight. People only get a chance to fight and to pick on each other and to make fun of one another on Shabbos. So that's terrible. That's not what Shabbos is about. I never heard of a fight breaking out in shul on a Tuesday. Fight always breaks out in shul on Shabbos. Who has time? Who has time? While running to work, who has time to fight? Guy comes late, then he leaves early. No time. Shabbos, everyone's hanging out, so we have time to fight. That's terrible. There's no fighting on Shabbos. So Sevaru Eish, you have to be super careful not to fight on Shabbos. So Sevaru Eish HaMachloikes. Sevaru Eish B'chomus V'Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos. I think the B'nai Yisrael or others say it's a special Iser to fight on Shabbos. No fighting. No punishments, no fighting. We got it. However, writes of Akiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch, Shin Lametes Siv Daud, Umikol Mokom, Ba'omer Sukkah She'eni Yoishev. A guy says, I'm not going to sit in Sukkah today. I'm not davening Musaf today. That's not a punishment. V'Shabbos, maybe that should be allowed. And he quotes there from the Prima Gadim, the Mishpat Zayzav, and his Psicha Til Chashabbos, that it should be allowed. Why? Why? I thought there's no punishing on Shabbos. The answer is that's not a punishment. That's not a punishment for the past. That's 39 times Malkus and Malkus Mar. This would be less than that. This is to compel you to do something in the future. Ah, that's not a punishment. And that's where Malkus Mar is for Teisei Nafsho. I would say this is the conventional approach. That's developed by the Ritva, Mesechus Ksubis. It's quoted over here in Rabbi Kiva Eger and Shulchan Aruch. Fine, fantastic. Makes a lot of sense. Beautiful. This is to compel you to do what you're supposed to do. But then I think it makes sense, like the Nesivis, that everyone should be a part of this. This is Kol Yisrael, Ravim Zembezeh. I'm responsible for you. You're responsible for me. Why is this limited to Beis Din? Seems to me that those who limit it to Beis Din are going with the Rambam. And the Rambam didn't say this. The Rambam said, Makon Yisrael should take Seinafshu, whether it's in the past or in the future. He never distinguished. Look at the Rambam. Look back. Oisid Beis. The Rambam said it. We read it already. A person ate matzah Erev Pesach. It's over. He did it already. You could say he's still eating. And some of my friends say like that in the Rambam. He's talking about he's still eating and I want him to stop. Doesn't sound like that from the Rambam. The Rambam says, Misha ochal matzah. He ate it already. Makanai say to Teitzei Nafshai. We hit him until the brink of death. Why? Why is that more chomer than shatnez? Why is that more chomer than, you know, lasachsum shar betishoy? Why is this so chomer? Why does the Makas Mardus have the license to hit a guy at Teitzei Nafshai? And why does the Rambam leave out this halacha entirely? So Reb Chaim explains, we'll read it in a second, that the Rambam feels that this halacha of compelling people to perform mitzvahs or to refrain from doing averus is not because of Kol Yisrael or Ravim Zebazeh. No. This is not a good kirov strategy, right? I mean, right? Kol Yisrael Ravim Zebazeh is to make sure that the guy wants to become religious. Give Teichacha until the point that the Teichacha is not, you know, not effective. You might even have to hit him sometimes, you know. Shake the guy out of his stupor, okay, if there's such a metzios that could exist, okay. But beyond that, no. Here, it sounds like all we're interested in is in compliance, and I don't care about your religious commitment beyond that. That really is not what interests me. All I care is that you do the mitzvah. That's all I care about. That sounds like something else. And if you did it, we're going to punish you even after it happened already. Why? Why are we punishing you after it happened already? So Chaim explains that the Rambam believes that this halacha is really about the kavod of Beis Din, or really the responsibility of Beis Din, to ensure or to create a religious society. And in that sense, it's similar, really the same, as the Gemara Misach Sanhedrin of Avraham Aruch. Says the Gemara over here, Oyez Tezbav, Shamati, I heard, Shebeis Din Makim V'yoyin Shecholoy Min HaTorah. Sometimes Beis Din has to do something dramatic and punish people even when it's not warranted. V'loy Lavar Al Divrei Torah, not to violate the mitzvah of Torah, K'dei Lasa Siyog LaTorah. It's not a violation of the Torah. It itself is what creates a religious society. U'maisi Be'echad Sherochav Al Asus B'Shabbos B'Yimei Yoinim. There was a certain individual who's riding on a horse B'Yimei Yoinim, in the days of the Greeks. V'heviyuhu LeBeizim V'sakluhu. And they brought him to Beizim and they stoned him. Loimim Ne'Sharoi L'Kach. riding a horse on Shabbos is talking about on Shabbos. Riding a horse on Shabbos is also midrabbanan. I think we talked about this, didn't we? We talked about this recently. Riding a horse on Shabbos is also midrabbanan. Last semester. Riding a horse on Shabbos is also midrabbanan. Why are you not allowed to ride a horse on Shabbos? I remember talking about this.
A branch on a tree.
Yeah, because you might rip a branch off a tree and hit the horse. That's not what most people think. Most people think it's like, you know, it's some sort of transportation, and all forms of transportation are also on Shabbos. That might be true. That might also be true. But the real gzeira is because you might rip a branch off the tree and hit the animal as a whip. So it's also midrabbanan. What do they do? They kill the guy. B'sakluhu. You can't. That's not warranted. It's not what Misa's based in. It's also midrabbanan. What are they killing him for? He didn't deserve that. They needed this. They needed it. You're going to allow him to ride his horse? People are going to start driving cars. I think Rav Soloveitchik said like that. Rav Schefter quotes, and I think in one of the Sfarim, Nefesh HaRav, Pnimei HaRav, that Rav Soloveitchik felt that there are certain things, I think it's maybe some big fat song. Rav Soloveitchik felt that there are certain hallmarks that existed between religious Jews and non-religious Jews, and they became lines in the sand, like driving to Shul on Shabbos, mixed tefillos without mechitza, all these kinds of things. And therefore the Rav felt that it takes on additional significance because it represents the line in the sand between those who are religious Jews and non-religious Jews. So even if one could be meiko, let's say, to take a taxi to shul and all these kinds of things, since that is seen as a pirtza between those who are religious versus those who are not religious, it takes on additional significance. And he bases upon the Gemara with regards to Arax of the Masani. The Gemara says if there becomes a time of religious persecution, they tell you Jews all wear black shoelaces and they wanted us to wear red shoelaces. So Gemara says, a time of religious persecution, you have to give up your life rather than switch the color of your shoelaces. Even though switching the color of the shoelaces is only a minig, but if you're going to give in, it's going to be seen as religious compromise that could ultimately lead people to become less religious in general. So it was Yahar Bal Yavar at a time of religious persecution. So Soloveitchik extrapolated from there, whenever you have these kinds of lines in the sand, that if you compromise on them, it's going to be seen as, giving up on the religion or adherence to halacha in general. So then it takes on an additional significance. And one could disagree or agree with his application to the circumstances. But certainly the principle exists. And that's what Chazal here are describing. There could be certain things, like if you ride a horse, someone might start driving their car, and then all of a sudden we have conservative Judaism. So Chazal saw that there are certain lines in the sand where it's necessary to step in to preserve the whole religion. There was a certain individual who was having relations with his wife underneath a tree. Now, shouldn't be doing that. Go inside the house, right? What are you doing this outside? Expressions of affection belong in the house. They don't belong outside underneath a tree. It's fine, but do it in the house. They brought him to Beis Din and they gave him Malkus. What did he do wrong? He was with his own wife underneath the tree. Deserving it. Beis Din has an obligation to preserve a religious society. That's their responsibility. And because of that, they have a license to hit people sometimes, even when it's not warranted. So maybe the Rambam felt this whole halacha, a makan asay shetetzei nafshay, is not in order to see to it that he fulfills his religious obligations, it's in order to preserve a religious society. Whose job is that? Beis Din. That's not on you or I to see to it, what I think society should look like, what I think is an issue that we, the hill we should die on. That's up to Beis Din. That's not up to you or I. That's why the Tosefta says in Maseches Makos, it supports the Rambam, we'll go be the Tosefta says, Ois Tezayin, Makas Torah Arboim Chosarachas. When a person violates an Easter in the Torah, he gets Malkus 39 times. Im Yejbo, Lil Kos, if he can handle it, Loike, then you give him Malkus. Vim Lav, Eno Loike, if he can't handle it, less. There's an assessment, a health assessment that's made. Ava Makas Mardus, Eno Kain. Makas Mardus, not. Makan Oisai, Adshi Yekabel, or Adshi Tetzin Avshoi. We hit him until he accepts. Accepts what? Accepts what? Accepts the authority of Beis Din and gets back in line. Even if it happened already. See, it's not about compelling him to do a mitzvah in the future. It could have even happened already. But the problem is, it was a pirtza in the society, so we have to compel him until he accepts the authority of Beis Din, not in terms of the covet of Beis Din, but until he comes back in line vis-a-vis the future and conducts himself as, you know, as expected. And that's the point that's made by the Meiri too. Oftentimes the Meiri and the Rambam are on the same page on things. So it says Meiri over here, Oisid Zayin, V'dover Zeh Yeshel Fakfek, and whom Mekabel of Miyad in the Keu Klau. Let's say the guy jumps the gun and he says, whoa, I accept, give up. He waves the white flag. Maybe you can't give him Malkus at all. The minute that he accepts upon himself, not necessarily to do a mitzvah in the future, yet if that's what they're hitting him about, then okay, to do the mitzvah in the future. If it's about the past, till he should accept upon himself to do the right thing. And if he doesn't accept, upon himself the authority and the instructions of Beis Din, Chazal have the right sometimes to be machazik their enactments, which they feel are necessary for society. So it could be the Rambam felt that this is not a halacha of this person's religiosity and his commitment per se. It's about the society that Beis Din is responsible to create, the environment. And that's the responsibility of Beis Din, not of every individual. Chaver, look over here, Reb Chaim says this, and the Gemara Masechta this Menachos, over here, Oisid Ches. We don't tell people this. Certain things you don't need to popularize. One is that you don't have to wear an abakanfis. Right? Too many people, unfortunately, don't wear tzitzis. It's a problem. I used to have in my time the tzitzis check. The guy would pat you, hey, how you doing today? Too problematic nowadays. That's not happening. I've done it, You know, you don't see that too often anymore. But unfortunately, some people don't wear tzitzis. So the truth of the matter is, if you're not wearing an arba konfis, you don't have to put on tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis is, if you're wearing arba konfis, you should put on tzitzis strings. What if I'm not wearing an abakanfus? I don't have four-cornered garment on. You really don't need tzitzis. However, no mitzvah to go around popularizing that. And the reason is because you're supposed to wear an abakanfus, so you should become chayiv in tzitzis. And that's, but this is based on the Gemara Maseches Menachos over here, Memal from Rav. The Gemara says, the Malacha was the name of a Malach. Malacha, Ashkechele Rav Katina, the Michse Sedina. Rav Katina was wearing a linen arba konfis. Chazal exempted a linen arba konfis from putting on tzitzis. Why? Because tcheles has to be made with wool, and they were afraid that, now the wool and the linen is shatnez, but the mitzvah tzitzis overrides shatnez, as we mentioned yesterday. I say derchalois, I say, but if the tcheles is not real tcheles, it's fake tcheles, which was known in times of the Gemara as kola ilon. There was this fake tcheles out of the time, it was much cheaper to make. So if it's fake tcheles, you're going to end up violating the Isser of Shatnez. So in order to prevent someone from violating Shatnez, in the absence of the mitzvah tzitzis, because it's not real tcheles, it's only kola ilon, so they exempted sadam b'tzitzis. Linen, four-cornered garments are pater from tzitzis because the tcheles has to be wool. Wool is Shatnez. If you're not wearing tcheles, that's a real tcheles, you could, you know, get close to violating the Isser of Shatnez. Okay. So they exempted linen garments. He used to walk around with Katina, used to walk around in a four-cornered garment, but it was made out of linen. I'm like, Katina, Sedina Bekaita Besarbala Besitva. Says you wear linen in the summer, and then in the winter, you wear rounded corners, which aren't chayv and tzitzis. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing, dude? You're putter from tzitzis. Why would you do that? Don't do that. Tzitzis shot chayvus, matayalea. What's going to be with tzitzis? Amalei, and shisua say, well, you're punishing me for failing to do a mitzvah. I say, you're not obligated to do it. You're not obligated to wear an arba konfis. There's no mitzvah to do it. Amalei bezman de'ika rizcha anshinon. He says, you're right. You're not obligated, but at the time of an eis din, you're going to get punished for this. You're going to get punished for it. So it's the right thing to wear an arba konfis based on this gemara. As you see, the malach came to Rav Katina and said, what are you doing? Why are you exempting yourself from tzitzis? You really should wear an arba konfis on which you should put tzitzis. Why? There's a punishment for not volunteering to do tzitzis? Not really, but, you know, when you're doing the wrong thing, unless you're flying high, so then, you know, be'idon rischa, it's a shas, eis din, you could get punished. Right? Tzitzis there. An shisu ha'asei, you get punished for an asei, ki hai she'ein adam chayev liknois tawas. You're really not obligated to buy a tawas. So then, you only get punished be'ida and rischa, right? At the time, be'is, the isa rischa, at the time when there's an eis din. If it's a real mitzvah, I say, eating matzah, sitting in sukkah, taking lulav, hearing shofar, you're right, there's no punishment for an asay that you don't have to do. An asay you do have to do. Of course there is a punishment. That's Tosis. Chaim asks, what are you comparing one to the other? One is talking about something that happened already. One is talking about something you need to do in the future. That was the whole distinction of the Ritva. The Ritva drew the line in the sand. Machna says to teach a natural to comply in the future, but less than Malchus Deiraisa to fix something or to punish it for something that happened in the past. Here, Tosis is mixing and matching. The Gemara is talking about failing to do a mitzvah say that you need to volunteer to do in the past. You don't get punished for that. He says, but don't confuse that with the mitzvah say that you have to do that you do get punished for. Well, you only get punished for mitzvah say that you have to do if there's still a possibility you could do it in the future. If it's over, Rabbi Yisai, after Sukkot, if the guy didn't sit in Sukkot, there's no Makkanah Yisai to Tetzei Nafshah. If the guy didn't light Hanukkah lift and now we're holding by Shvat, there's no Makkanah Yisai to Tetzei Nafshah. It's only while it's still Hanukkah and he can do the mitzvah, hit him until he complies. What does this punishment afterwards have to do with doing a mitzvah beforehand?
The punishment would only be for Los Asay
now. No, and I say.
Why?
To do it. Right?
Afterwards,
it would only be for Los Asay. That's Reb Chaim's kasha on Tosis. Ask Reb Chaim the kasha. Ma shayach hay dina shu b'taris kfil l'kayim ha-mitzvah l'din oynesh al sho'avar. What does a punishment have to do with forcing a guy to comply in the future? So he says, the truth of the matter is, the Rambam doesn't distinguish. The Rambam feels they're all the same. V'nei b'Rambam hishmit din zed demakon esay zetei she'nafsho v'kod zetei she'nafsho kotzvini makas mardus gapi ha'oichol mazmer pesach. The Rambam actually brings this not with regards to compliance in the future, with regards to punishment for the past. That's what the Rambam says, Makanah says to Tate Saint Absalom. Why do you hit him there more than for violating a real Lois HaSei Deiraisa? It happened in the past. It's not about the future. The Rambam keeps mentioning Bezdin. Mashra the Enkan Chiyuv HaKor Al HaGavra. This is not that I want you to comply because I care about your religious observance. Because you violate Issa the Rabbanah, so we're punishing you. No. Bezdin has the right to do it. They have the right to do it to maintain a religious society. That's what this is about. It's not about this guy's observance. No. It's about maintaining a religious society. Bezdin, Makin, Va'inshin, Shalom, and Adin. And therefore it's Dafka Bezdin. And therefore there's no difference about the past, future. That whole distinction doesn't hold any water. So we start with the Machlokes, the Ksais, and the Nesivis. Who's doing this? Nesivis said everyone. Ksais said only Bezdin. Seems like the Machlokes is, you know, why are we doing it? Why are we hitting the guy? Is it for himself? Then everyone should be able to, you know, Kosar Ravens up as that. Maybe it's to preserve the integrity of the community. That's, incumbent upon Bezdin. That difference will be, one nafkamina, will not only be who can do this. When do you do this? Is this only for a mitzvah sasei that he could do in the future? Or maybe a mitzvah sloy sasei that he should stop doing the mitzvah sloy sasei? Or is this even for something that happened in the past? If it's about him complying, and I care about his religious observance, it's only if it makes a difference for the future. The past is the past, it's over. If it's about establishing a religious society, then the past is also relevant. The past is also relevant. I need him to admit that what he did was wrong, in order so that he should be able to become a productive member of society. So, Makna say Achi Kabbalah love until he accepts upon himself to do differently in the future. Even though this mitzvah is over with, this mitzvah is past, I need him to accept to stay in line. And it's not about his religious observance, it's about maintaining a society. The other difference will be, do we do an Einig? Right? Do we see if he can handle it or he can't handle it? So that's what the Brisker Rav adds in his Chidush on Sefer Erech, and really working off of that Yisai from Reb Chaim. He says, most of the Rishonim believe Makas Mardus is for an Aveira that happened in the past, and there's a Shear, like Malchus Deiraisa. And forcing a guy to comply in the future is a whole separate thing. That's about, something that hasn't happened already. That's about, getting him to comply, and that's where Makana says to Tate Shinafshay. Achain, Shitas Harambam, the Ola Makas Mardus, ain't the Indian Malchus, ve'ain lo Shear. There's no Shear. There's no Oymed, there's no health assessment. And therefore there's no Oymed either. And therefore he cites the Tosefta we saw already, Makas Maridus Eino Keno. Makno says Chikabo Vacha Tetsi Nafshoi, even if, you know, there's the person can handle it, right? Or whatever. We don't have the same rules, we're not have the same limitations as Malkus Deiransa. Chaver, we hear? We hear what these two halachas might be, what this halacha might be based on. Big machlekes. Big machlekes. I would just like to take a step back. Right, and think about this, as I suggested yesterday. What are we accomplishing here? Right? If it's to get the guy, you know, if it's about establishing a just religious society, I get it. We don't really care about this guy's religious observance. If it's like the Nesivas told us, every person is licensed to do this and empowered and deputized because we want him, you know, Kol Yisrael, Raven Zevazel, what do I accomplish if I force him to do it? What do I accomplish if I force him to do it? What have I done there? Makar says it takes an option until he does it. So Chevra, look over here, the sheet from today, you have it? It's related. I didn't want to get involved in Mitzvah Shivas, because I don't know what. It is related. We'll just tiptoe in and tiptoe out the Mitzvah Shikas Kavanah. The Gemara says over here in Rosh Hashanah, Kafova Ocho Matzah. I force a guy to eat matzah. Yotze, ye yotze. Yotze. That's the mission in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, you see from here, Mitzvahs ain't Shikas Kavanah. Mitzvahs don't require Kavanah. You yotze even without Kavanah, because I forced you to eat it, and you were yotze. Oh, so then I understand. I'm forcing you to sit in Sukkah. I'm forcing you to take Lubav. I'm forcing you to blow shayfar, because mitzvahs ain't shrichas kavana. So if I force you to do it, you're yoytze. Now I understand. Okay, then I understand the nesivas. I perhaps understand the nesivas. The Gemara, though, says in Psachim, quotes another opinion. Chevra, we all know this, right? To eat karpas, which if you don't have celery or parsley or whatever you use for karpas, you can, in theory, use the romaine lettuce. In theory. If you use romaine lettuce, do you eat maror later, or are you yotze with the romaine lettuce? So Mar says, really, it's two separate parts of the Seder. There's karpas, and then there's maror. Right? We even tell people at the time they're eating karpas, have in mind, right, the maror later on. But it's two separate stages in the Seder. So the Gemara that discusses eating it a second time, one for karpas, then again for maror, the same romaine lettuce. Why do I have to eat it twice? Why can't it be yotze the first time? We don't have a mind for maror. You only have a mind for maror later on. So Gemara says, well, who cares that I don't have a mind for maror? You're yotze anyway. Gemara says, no, you're not yotze maror unless you have a mind for maror. What do you see from here? See from here, mitzvah strichas kavana. Mitzvah strichas kavana. You need kavana. That's why if you eat the romaine lettuce for karpas, we don't have a mind maror, you're not yotze. Mitzvah strichas kavana. It's machlekes in the Gemara. A few places. Whether mitzvah strichas kavana, mitzvah ain't strichas kavana, one of those classic sugyas. Big machlekes in the Gemara. Big machlekes in the Gemara, whether or not mitzvah strichas kavana, mitzvah ain't strichas kavana. Where does it come from? So look over here, the Prima Gadim writes, I have no idea where this source for this halacha is. Bine ka'es lo matzasev imin ha'tera mitzvah deiraisa strichas kavana amid rabbanan hu. No idea where this comes from. I don't know why it was such a mystery. The Ramban writes in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs the following. Over here, Ois Dal, V'ikar HaKosav Hu Avdoi B'chol L'Vavcha Mitzvah Asei Sh'teh Kol Vaseinu L'Kel Yisbarach B'chol L'Vaveinu U'Avdoi B'chol L'Vavcha Mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your heart. Your heart is Kavana. B'Kavana Retzu Yishleimu L'Shmai. She should have Kavana. You should have Kavana. You should have Kavana. How do we paskin? Mitzvah Shikas Kavana, Mitzvah Ain't Shikas Kavana. This is such a complicated issue because there's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Look over here. Shulchan Aruch, Simin Samach, Hilchos Kriyashma. Siv Dalet, Yeshami Sheim Mitzvah Shikas Kavana, Yeshami Sheim Mitzvah Shikas Kavana, V'chein Halacha. We paskin Mitzvah Shikas Kavana. But since there's two opinions, it's hard to figure out whether we hold actually Mitzvah Shikas Kavana, Mitzvah Ain't Shikas Kavana, or the Shulchan Aruch is just being mocked with regards to Kriyashma Deiraisa, that Mitzvah Shikas Kavana. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes, with regards to Mitzvah Derabanan, we assume Safik Derabanan Lakua, Mitzvah Ain't Shrikas Kavana, with regards to Mitzvah Deiraisa, we paskin Safik Deiraisa Lachumra, Mitzvah Shrikas Kavana. But it's always a good idea to have Kavana anyway. I always say I have no idea why we announce it with regards to Shofar and Parsha Zachar and all those. Of course you have Kavana for Shofar. Thank you. Thank you for telling me before Shofar. Rabbi, I say have Kavana for Shofar. How about telling me before Kriyashma every night when people roll into Shul like the half dead, you know, and zombies. Ah, Rabbi Yisrael, I have kavana for Kriyat Shema. I don't need you, Parsha Zachar. I don't need the announcement before the Megillah. Have a mind to be Yaitze Mikra Megillah. If you're telling me have a mind, Matanus Rav Yaitim Eben Tarn, the Suda, have a mind, Mishloach Manas, also in the Shechiyanu. Okay, that I get. You don't need to announce it, your Seder. Have a mind, Matzah. Have a mind, Kriyat Shema every night. You know, that would be helpful. That we need a reminder about. Anyway, be that as it may, with regards to mitzvahs deraisa, mitzvahs trichas kavanah, with regards to mitzvahs midrabanan, you can be mekel mitzvahs ain't trichas kavanah, but always a good idea. To have kavanah. Why does the opinion hold that mitzvahs ain't trichas kavanah? Hold that mitzvahs ain't trichas kavanah. What happened? Kavanah is important, no? To be yotze. Why does he hold ain't trichas kavanah? So the Ron explains in Rosh Hashanah. Look back over here. Oisei. Just basics. We're tiptoeing in and tiptoeing out. There's a lot to say about all these things, but we'll get the basic lay of the land. The Ron says, because most people, when they do a mitzvah, have a mind to be yotzei. You don't even need a mind to be yotzei. That's the assumption. Is that you have a mind to be yotzei. Ninehid armina mitzvah sein trichas kavanah v'dokeu eshir yotza. Therefore says the Ron, that even if you have a mind to be yotzei, you're yotzei. Even if you have a mind to be yotze, you're yotze. You shouldn't be confused. There's another psak in the Chayyim and the Mishnah Berurah quotes. He says, what about most people who sit in shul? Most people who sit in shul. You ask them, by Marav, after that, did you have a mind to be yotze Kriya Shema? I guess so, you know. Why else did I come, right? So the Chayyim says, that's good enough. That's called Kavana Keha. That's weak Kavana. That's why I came to shul. I didn't mind. I didn't sit and concentrate on it, but yeah, of course I had a mind. Yeah, of course. So that's good enough by most mitzvahs. Usually, that's the psak, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Mechayel. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about here. Even if the guy didn't have kavanah at all, not that we assume that's what he has in mind. That's why he schlepped himself to shul. You don't need it. It's assumed that it's lishma. Not even kavanah keha. Not even a weak kavanah. Yeah, that's what I'm generally thinking about when I shake the lulav, even though this time I happen to be distracted by the shiny object on the other side of the shul. No. I'm shaking the lulav, I probably don't mind the lulav, even though I'm watching my leaves and I'm watching Elisha. Yeah, I don't mind what you're saying. That's the chayodam. Here, mitzvah ain't shikas kavana means that you don't need kavana because it's obvious. It's obvious. The circumstances dictate it as such. What if I have in mind not to be yotze? I have in mind not to be yotze. Not to be yotze. So Ron says, well then you're not yotze. Whether you hold mitzvah shikas kavanah, whether you hold mitzvah ain't shikas kavanah, you're not yotze, but mind not to be yotze. Because the only reason you were yotze, according to one who holds mitzvah ain't shikas kavanah, you don't need kavanah, is because we could fill in the blanks for you. Not because that's what you probably meant, you know, you just weren't actively thinking about it. You don't even if you weren't thinking about it, and, you know, circumstances dictate that's, you know, it's enough. But if you have in mind not to be yotze, you're not yotze. Have in mind not to be yotze, not yotze. There's a Tosfos like that in Sukkah over here. Always test. We're familiar with this. Rabbi say, how do we hold the esrog before you make the bracha? You're always supposed to make the bracha over lasiyasan. Before you do the mitzvah, you're supposed to make the bracha, not after you do the mitzvah. Before you put on your towels, you make the bracha. Before you tighten the tefillin straps, you make the bracha. Before you you should put on the shel roish, but before you push it down, that's when you make the bracha. How do you make a bracha over lasiyasan when you do lulav? The minute you pick it up, you're yotze. So we know what we do is we turn over the esrog. Taisus brings up a different possibility. Just have in mind not to be yotze. Have in mind not to be yotze. If you have in mind not to be yotze, it's good enough. If you have in mind, even if you hold mitzvahs ain't trichas kavana, the only reason ain't trichas kavana is because we say stama lishma. It's probably, you know, the circumstances is enough to create the lishma. But if you have in mind not to be yotze, you're not yotze. We don't do that, Shad. Why don't we do that? I don't know. Sephardim do that or something? I don't know. We don't do that. Ashkenazim don't do that. We turn it upside down. Why don't we have in mind not to be yotze? It seems to be good enough. Because there's an opinion of the Ra'ah, the infamous Ra'ah. Over here, Oisiyot, at the bottom of the base Yosef. The Ra'ah writes, Shafilu tzeveach sheno roitza lotze, yidei oisa mitzvah, yotze. Even if you are screaming, I do not want to be yotze, you're yotze. V'chizek svaris uberayos. That's what it means. Kafo v'ochol matzah. They forced you to eat matzah. You ate matzah. You're yotze. Says the Ra'ah, you're screaming, I don't want this. Stop shoving it down my throat. You're still yotze. So says the Ra'ah. According to the one who holds mitzvah saying shikas kavana, you're yoytze, even if you have kavana not to be yoytze, you're yoytze. Rav Soloveitchik was chayshish for this opinion of the Ra'ah. That's why he never relied on kavana shalai lotzeis. It's not the best eitze kavana shalai lotzeis. The Ra'ah doesn't hold of it. Rav Soloveitchik was machmir for this with regards to Hallel, the bracha of Hallel. If you ever see real Talmidim of Soloveitchik, the minig in most shuls is the chazan says the bracha on Hallel, the tzibur answers Amen, then the tzibur says the bracha on Hallel themselves. Yeah? So the Talmidim from Soloveitchik said the bracha of Hallel together with the Shiach tzibur. You seen that before? Why? Because Soloveitchik was chayshish for this ra'ah, that if you answer Amen to the bracha of the Shiach tzibur, you can't make your own bracha. Afterwards, you're already yodse. Ah, I didn't have a mind to be yodse. I had a mind to answer Amen to his bracha, not to make the bracha for me. Doesn't mind, it doesn't matter. Kavanah shalai latzeis doesn't help. Or on Yom Kippur night, we make a shachiyanu in shul, because we're not going to make a shachiyanu by Kiddush. So the Shliach Tzibur makes a shachiyanu, says in the Mishnah Berurah, everyone's going to say shachiyanu together with him. Why? Let me answer Amen to his shachiyanu, and then I'll make my own shachiyanu. So they said, we can't do that, because once you answer Amen, you already have in mind to be yaitse, you're yaitse with him. Kavanah shalai latzeis doesn't work. So, Chaver, according to the Ra'ah, I understand. You cannot answer Amen, but then just make the bracha with him. Same idea. So, according to this Ra'ah, I understand. We're forcing people to do mitzvahs. Even if you have kavanah shalai latzeis, great. That's religious observance, right? You're yaitse to the mitzvah. Sad, pithy. Right? We would hope for better, but we'll take what we can get. According to Reva Rishayim, you're not yaitse if you have kavana shalai latzeis. So what are we accomplishing by forcing the guy to eat matzah? What are we accomplishing by forcing the guy to do mitzvah? So we must say here, what we're talking about is not a guy who's anti-religious, right, who doesn't have kavana. He doesn't want to be bothered with it. He says, stop bothering me. Obviously, if I do it, I'll take the points. I'll take on Aiden, fine. You know, that guy. But it can't be that he actually has kavana shalai latzeis, the anti-religious man. The atheist right now. There's nothing to be gained by forcing that guy. It must be that's what we're talking about, right? According to the Nesivos, so the whole halacha is based not upon establishing a religious society, but established to pay, you know, based upon, koyisrael reivim zebazeh. We must be talking about a guy who at least doesn't have kavanah shalai latzeis, even if he doesn't have kavanah to be yotzei. According to the Ra'ah, we could even say he's talking about a situation where he has kavanah shalai latzeis. But either way, I think you see from here an important yesod about avodas Hashem. The Ra'ah, for sure you see this. But even if you don't have to go all the way to the Ra'ah, you certainly see an important yesod. Rabbi said there's two kinds of kavanah, right? There's kavanah to be yoytze, and there's kavanah for what the mitzvah is there to convey, right? Coming close to Hashem, or the religious side of it. The Mishnah Berurah makes this point. Look over here. The Mishnah Berurah writes on the second line of Rosh Zayin, Da, Dufiya Mizbor Min HaPaiskim Shnei Kavanas Yesh L'Mitzvah. There's two kinds of Kavanah. Kavanas HaLev L'Mitzvah Atzma and Beis Kavanah Lotzeis. Kavanah to be Yotze. But then there's Kavanah for what the Mitzvah is there to convey. Tfila, right? Meaning the words. Not just Kavanah to be Yotze Kriya Shema, concentrating on the Perush Amilas. That's what the Gemara says in Nedarim. Asay dvarim l'shem po'alam. Do the mitzvahs l'shem shamayim. Says the Ram, l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'po'alam v'tziv aleim. That's different than kavanah latzeis. Kavanah latzeis means I have a kavanah to be yaitze parsha zohar. Kavanah, it's a deeper kavanah, means I have a mind to internalize the message of parsha zohar. And to bring that closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course we want kavanah to do mitzvahs. What about a mitzvah without kavanah? What is the status of a mitzvah without kavanah? Forget about kavanah latzeis. Maybe the guy has kavanah latzeis. He certainly doesn't have gehoy bin ha-kavanas. He's certainly not having miyachid shemus over here while we're forcing the matzah down his throat. Is there a significance to mitzvahs without kavanah? Obviously, you see yes. We'll have to read the Makaris inside. It's striking. Tomorrow we'll read the Ariya Kaddish and the Nefesh HaChaim. Then we're going on to Taisus about forcing. Staka, very. Big stuff over here, Taisus. I'm sorry we didn't get to it today. We're going to make sure to see Taisus, to read, or Ritzvah, all these things. We're going to pick them apart. It's a fantastic Taisus. We have to see these parashas. Ariya Kaddish. All right.